It's time to talk about Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. And now, here's Ira.
In a city where food and wine compete with entertainment and gaming as top draws for Vegas visitors and locals, my guest, Patty Peters, co-owner of Vegas Valley Winery, is part of that competition. As wine culture grows in popularity across America, Las Vegas is no exception. Locals and visitors alike are looking not only for the taste of fine wines, but also the knowledge behind them. Under Patty's leadership, the winery has become a tasting room, a hub of education, craftsmanship, and community. For everything about Vegas Valley Winery, go to VegasValleyWinery.com. Follow them on Instagram, Facebook, and X. And Patty, welcome to the show. And disclaimer to our listeners and viewers, we know each other. So there you go.
Yes, we do. Well, thank you for having me, Ira. I think we got to chatting a little bit, and the last time we talked about this was probably about 15, 16 years ago.
Charlie Peters was your husband and co-founder
of
Grape Expectations, and he was on my old show as well. So that's where I originally know you from. And so you've done so much since then. So give us an overview of Vegas Valley Winery and Grape Expectations, how the two differ from each other and how you've expanded it, which amazes me how it's grown over the last 10 or 15 years.
Okay, well, we have to start with Grape Expectations. My husband and I came up with the idea in, 25 years ago. It took us 5 years to get the law changed with the help of a senator at that time. And in 2005, we got a bill passed to allow for an instructional winemaking facility, which is not a winery. And that's what Grape Expectations is. It's a place where people can come. They can make a 53-gallon barrel of wine. It's four processes, all hands-on, within 9 months. And at the end of that 9 months, you take home your cases of wine. One barrel is going to yield about 20 cases, 240 bottles. So there's a little bit of drinking that goes on.
Yes, I would think so.
We were able to open our doors actually in 2007. 2005 is when we got the law changed. 2007 was when we opened our doors. And then we just kept plugging along, doing our stuff. And we were in a very small location over by SLM's Secta. And it was about 3,200 square foot. We knew we had to get a little bit bigger. So we moved over here to where we're at now at 7360 Eastgate Road. Still in Henderson. And unfortunately, about 9 days after we moved in, my husband passed away just suddenly. And and all the winemakers, everybody that made wine with us for the last 5 years, were just didn't want us to fold. And Mike Shane Beckler, who had worked with my husband at Cascada, they were very good friends. We had just asked Mike to be a part of our team about 10 days before Charlie passed. And so Mike stepped up to the plate. He took this place and made it to what it is today. And so about 6 months after he took over, I made him a full partner because I'm no dummy. I knew what I had with this guy.
Of course.
And truly, everything that we have is it's the results of Mike. Charlie started it, but Mike's taken it to the next level. In 2015, there was a faction up north, a little faction down south that wanted to allow wineries in counties with populations of over 100,000. Because prior to that time, you couldn't have a winery in any county that had over 100,000 people. That's why you had wineries in Pahrump. That's in Nye County. So they got it on, but there's a lot of caps in place. So you don't see very many wineries in Clark County. In fact, we were the first. There's one other winery here in the valley, but I believe they deal mostly in fruit wines. They're out of Pennsylvania. But ever since 2017, when we opened our doors, we've had Vegas Valley Winery, which is connected to Grape Expectations. They're just separated by a door. If you come into the tasting room, you'll taste the wines that Mike and Chad have made because we produce them all here. We bring in fruit. We crush, we press, we do everything. And when Mike feels that the wine's ready to be served, we serve it in the tasting room. And when you come to the tasting room, we'll take you on a little tour. We don't charge for our tours. And we'll take you in the back and we'll show you around. And it's enchanting. When you get that many barrels, and there's about 300 barrels back there, and there, it's just wonderful. We have a lot of events that we do because we've got such a huge area. It's about 11,000 square foot. And so we'll do a lot of events on our own. And then we have a lot of people that'll rent out the space to do their own events. And and we've got such a large family of winemakers. I mean, thousands and thousands of people that have made wine with us and continue to make wine with us. So it's quite the little neighborhood.
I would think you would also get, and because a lot of our listeners and viewers are from outside Las Vegas, I mean, I'm assuming you do get people coming from other states or other countries to come visit and sample and tour.
Yep. You know, we used to get a lot of people from overseas that would, you know, when they come to town, they'll do a little Google and we'll pop up and they'll come by and see us. And a lot of people driving in from all over the Midwest, all the way everywhere. Right. So it's a little mishmash of people.
Okay, exactly. That's the way it's good. Well, in my opening, I talked about how wine and food is really the new part of Las Vegas that 20 years ago wasn't even thought of. It was more entertainment and gaming. But the culinary scene here has just exploded, and wine is part of that as well. So do you start to see a more sophisticated take on wine from your customers and from people that come and tour the facility?
You know what? I think we see all levels. You know, I'll get people from other wineries that'll stop in, and I've got people that they don't know anything about wine. They don't even like wine. They'll come in, and I go, you know what? You just don't like the wines you've had. There's thousands of different wines out there. Right. We've got some very knowledgeable sommeliers that work with us that are more than happy to educate people. But, you know, at the same time, everybody comes to the plate with their own knowledge, and basically they like what they like, and so we kind of work around that. We don't tell them what they're smelling. We let them just tell us what they're smelling. What are you tasting? What are you smelling? You know, do you like something that's a little bit more dry or a little bit more sweet? And then we kind of work it around there. Mike's he makes so many different levels of wines, and there's a little something for everyone.
It always seems to me, Patty, that there's that wine snobbery that goes on or used to go on. And I think it's there's more of a leveling of the plane than there used to be in terms of the approach to wine. So in other words, what you were just describing is more of, and for our audience, my voice is gone because of pollen time. I usually explain that so people know what's going on with me. But there's more of a leveling playing field of wine. So you can approach it at a level that's, as you mentioned, beginning, or you can take a more sophisticated approach, but no doors are closed to you in terms of the appreciation of wine the way it used to be, it seems 30, 40 years ago.
No, and you know, everybody's just got a different level. I hesitate to call it snobbery. I just think some people just get so into it and they know so much about it. And then they find that one that they love and they just want to tell the world and they can't stop talking about it. And maybe that comes across as a little pompous, a little snobbery, but I think they just love wine. And then there's the other guy that's like, you know what, I don't know anything about it. So, you know, we'll have them come in and we'll say, okay, try this wine. Okay, now let's try it with a little bit of cheese and see how it just changes. And they're like, wow. And just that little bit, that little bit that you feed them, or they get to experience, and that'll just take them on a whole nother journey. And, you know, it's not just wine. You know, we're in an area that we refer to as the booze district. So we've got the Las Vegas distillery just right down the driveway. We've got two breweries. We've got a meadery, which is a winery, but they make wine with honey. Mm-hmm. And all of them, they use food to enhance, you know, their drinks. And we all support each other and educate the public that comes in if they want to be educated. If they don't want to be educated, that's fine too. Sometimes it's just fun to come and socialize, you know?
Yeah. Have you ever thought of having a sign up there saying Booze District, or is there one? And I don't know about it.
Well, his name was George Rates. He was from Hungary. He originally had the Las Vegas distillery, and he actually captured that word, put it out there, and had it. It was his, the Booze District. So we just kind of continued to play on it. And I think that's how Henderson knows us. And at one point, we were just going to bring in a lot more, food and beverage places around here. But then the landlords decided to go a different route. So we're still the only ones here. But we use it as much as we can, you know, to pull people in. And
talk to the city fathers and see if they could put one of those signs, like the Welcome to Las Vegas sign, only the Welcome to the Booze District.
I'd love that. Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, that could work.
That would be awesome.
You mentioned your partner now, and we should also mention others such as KJ Howe, who
KJ
has been around forever. I think KJ is 110 years old now. Don't tell him I said that.
He just turned 86.
Oh, that's close enough.
KJ and Bob Kostelecki popped into the wine to the Grape Expectations at the old location back in I think it was 2008. And KJ fell in love with it, you know, because he loves to travel. He loves to drink wine. He loves everything about wine. And so he and my husband, Charlie, fell in love. And so they started kind of putting things together. And it was KJ that really said, hey, let's do a little fermentation class, you know, when we get done doing the crushing. So we developed that class for him. And my gosh, for years and years and years, he gave that class. And anybody that's ever come in, they know KJ. But not just KJ's known throughout this entire valley for so many different reasons. Sure. You know, golfing, the Mint 400. There's so many stories about KJ.
Yes, there are.
70s. We could talk forever.
Right. And,
he's adorable. Charming as hell. Adorable as hell. He's 86 years old. I still have him come to the winery. Unfortunately, he suffered a stroke about 3 years ago. It'll be 3 years in October, and he made it through, which we love and we adore him, but he can't talk.
Right.
And for somebody like KJ to not be able to talk is just a travesty. But I do have to tell you, everybody knows what he's trying to say. He does it with his hands. He does it with a little tilt of his head. They all know exactly what he's trying to say, and it amazes me every time. But yeah, we've got quite the cast of characters here.
I bet. Now, what maintains your interest in it? Because you started with Charlie originally, and he was at least a public spark plug for it. You were definitely there all the time as well. But you, as you say, once he passed, there was that desire from the community for you to continue. Was it hard for you personally at that time to want to continue? Because it's expanded so much now with the winery. Yeah.
If I'd have been on my own, I wouldn't have continued because I was still working. I worked for Metro for 25 years, so I couldn't have done both. And this wasn't my passion. This was Charlie's passion.
Right. That's why I asked the question.
When we brought Mike in, this was Mike's passion too. And so watching Mike's passion and seeing what he did and how he learned so much. I mean, he would go to UC Davis and they would study at UC Davis. When Charlie passed, the day Charlie passed, I got calls from the wineries that we deal with in California, specifically Wooden Valley Winery out of Sassoon, as we get a lot of our fruit from them. They're right next door to Napa. And Ron Lanza called me and he said, look, there is nothing you're going to come up against that we haven't come up against in the last 60, 70 years that we've had our winery. You call day or night. I don't care what time. He goes, we'll help you resolve it. He goes, get your guys, send them down. We'll teach them. We'll work with them. And he goes, we want you guys to make it. And it just became this tight, tight family. And Mike and Chad, he's one of our other guys. Those two became really, really close with Lanza's, and they just educated the hell out of themselves. Mike knows the chemistry associated with with wine, stuff I don't know. I'm very good at cleaning bathrooms, and I can clean a table really, really fast. And I can joke with customers. I can mop a floor. But when it comes down to the art of winemaking, it's all Mike. It's all Mike.
Yeah, that's good to know. How is it that I know you won? You recently won some 10 awards in a competition. Was it the wine that the winery made, or was it the wine that a customer made at the winery?
Nope. It's the wine that the winery made. So for the last 5 years, we've been sending our wines to the San Francisco Chronicle, and it is a very prestigious judging of wines. There's over 5,000 wineries that send their wines in to be judged, and every year we get awards, big awards. This year we got 4 double golds, which was huge, and we got golds, and we've got silvers, maybe 1 bronze out of 10 that we sent in. Last year, we sent our wines in, and we got a ton of double golds. Not only did we get a double gold, but for our Rosa Secco, which is a very dry rosé, we got a best in show. So what they do is they'll take their double golds, which to get a double gold is great, but they'll take them and they'll put them up against each other, and then they pick the best in show. So out of all of those wineries, all those 5,000 wineries throughout the country, we got best in show for our rosé, and it's an incredible rosé. So Mike does really, really, really good when he's doing his wines, and he knows them very, very well.
Do you think that with the popularity of the awards being given and all the extra stuff you're doing now compared to 10, 20 years ago, you're going to have to expand again? Is there room to expand?
You know, I can tell you it's hard. It's hard to have a winery in this town. I think it's hard to have any business in this town because you're competing with, oh my gosh, the Golden Knights, casinos. There's so much going on in this town. So for us, most of what we do is social media. Word of mouth is huge for us. Luckily, when people Google winery, we pop up, and so we can get people that way. But you know, I can't afford to do billboards. I would love to put a billboard up there and just say winery and have them Google winery. But I just can't afford that. And but it's hard. It's very hard in this town to get the word out. I would say 5-6 times a week, I have people come in my door that go, oh, my God, I've lived here for 40 years. I didn't even know you guys were here. And I'm like, damn it. Right. Like, oh, you are. Tell everybody we're here.
It is frustrating sometimes, especially when you're winning awards and you've been at it so long that there are still people that don't know that you're there. And especially people who are very, let's say, avid wine connoisseurs that may not even know that you're there. I mean, all they'd have to do is Google it. But again, it's just you think everybody knows, but they don't.
Well, you know, I get it because it's kind of ludicrous to have a winery in Las Vegas. I mean, when I think about it, because because everybody thinks, oh, winery, well, they must have a vineyard. Well, not all wineries have vineyards. Very few do. You know, a vineyard is a whole different ballgame from the winery.
Yeah, vineyard, but in the desert.
Yeah, so they're like, what? Really? Yeah. And so they're like, well, where do you grow your grapes? We're like, California. Although we do have some grapes in Nevada. So we had partnered with the old Pahrump Valley Winery many, many years ago when Bill and Gretchen Loken had it. And we helped them plant some fruit in Amargosa Valley. They have about 15 acres out there. Pahrump Valley Winery has since dissolved, and the new guys that have come in, I believe they're Charleston Peak now. They're incredible. They're out of California. They know their wines. They're also local. And so the fruit that they're producing out of that vineyard is really good fruit. I mean, they'll do some Tempranillo, Barbera. I think they've got some Symphony, which is a white. There's a Primitivo that they'll pull out of there. You know, obviously you're not going to get all the same varietals that you get out of California because it's just different land, different temperature, but Amargosa Valley is a little bit higher up. So you've got those cool nights, and the ground's just crappy enough that you can grow grapes. So so we do have some Nevada wines here. Mostly we have California, but we do have Nevada in the hopes that, you know, we'll get more and more and more down the road.
Do you ever get, once you win these awards, for example, the San Francisco one that we just talked about, do you ever get a call from any of the hotels saying, hey, we want some of your wine?
Well, we'll get people that would like for us to put our wines out there. But right now with the caps that are on wineries within the counties that are over 100,000, so Clark County and Washoe County, because of the caps, we can't produce enough to really put our wines, you know, out in the stores, to put our ciders in the, you know, breweries. We go back to the legislature every year and work with them, and they work with us on raising those caps. In fact, 2 years ago, we went to the legislature. Turns out I had an awful lot of winemakers that were legislators. kind of took the ball, ran with it.
Oh, you know what lobbyists do? They wine and dine the legislature.
Awesome. Yeah. And so we went up there, testified, and it was awesome. The guys that we would think would be our opposition, they were very supportive of us and very understanding of us, and we were welcomed with open arms. And so they raised those caps a little bit for us. And I suspect when we go back again, we'll get those caps raised a little bit more and little by little. So yeah, we're getting there. It's just slow.
I want to go back to the beginning again with Charlie. What was his passion that allowed him to plunge full time into creating Grape Expectations? What was it that drove him?
He had a little perfect storm. So you know this about Charlie was a force of nature. Anybody that knew Charlie, he worked at the Lucky Nickel for 18 years, incredibly faithful to anybody that he was associated with. And he got real sick back in 97, 98. And came out of that incredible. And boy, he had a fire that was lit underneath him. And he went to work for at the Paris Hotel. He was at the Mon Ami Gabi. And I'm giving you all kinds of good stuff. While he was there, now he used to do sleight of hand magic, and he was incredible. He would work with the likes of Michael Skinner, and he would do his sleight of hand magic. And I guess with Caesars, old Caesars, a lot of the secretaries would get together and come down, and he would just wow them. So they all went back to their bosses and said, "Hey, you guys got to come down and see this guy." So they did. All the big bosses of old Caesars came down one time, met Charlie, and they're like, "Oh yeah, this guy's got something going on." So they asked him, they said, "Would you like to work at our, we've got a golf course. It's an elite golf course. It's called Cascada. It's between Henderson and Boulder City." And he goes, "Well," which this killed me too. He goes, "I'm going to have to check with my wife." So he goes home and he goes, "Honey, they want me to work at this thing." And he goes, "I don't know that there's going to be any tips or anything." And he like, "Well, what are you going to be doing?" He goes, "Well, you have to be brought in by limo. There's a dossier on everybody that comes in, and a lot of the upper echelon." I go, "I don't care if you don't get paid at all." I go, "This town's all about who you know." I said, you get over there. I'm working. We'll be fine." He loved that job. He was there, I don't know, I think for 7 years, I'm not sure, but that's where he met Mike. And while he was there, Caesars got him involved in wine. You know, he was talking with chefs. He was talking with the sommeliers. He was talking with this. And he'd always had a passion for mixing drinks because he was a bartender. And so he went to the first level sommelier, passed that with flying colors, loved it. And then right about that time is when Harrah's came in and then took over. And so they were re-changing everything. And we had gone back to New Jersey. And one of his buddies back there says, "Hey, I got a friend who's making wine with this guy in Monmouth County." We looked at each other and we're like, "How good can that be?" Because we're thinking dandelion wine, right? So we go check it out. And we meet Luigi Saldano. And Lou and Charlie fell in love, just like KJ and Charlie. And I left Charlie there for a couple of weeks. And Lou's like, "You need to do this in Vegas." So we're like, "Okay, well, yeah, let's do this." And then that's when we found out about that you can't have a winery in a, you know, a room. So then we did the wine school. And that's what started it. That is exactly the steps, that little perfect storm of all these little things that happened that put him in that direction.
That's a great story.
We thought we were going to have a bar.
A dive bar, maybe. Yeah. That's a great story. When you look back on since the beginning, when you look back and you see all the other things you've added to the beginning of it, do you pinch yourself sometimes and are amazed at the progress?
I do. I have to pinch myself because I'm around this all the time. And every now and then when the boys are gone and it's late at night and I'm starting to shut things down, and it's so well taken care of, you know, the boys just do such a good job of everything has its place and it's so clean and it's so inviting. And I have to pinch myself and go, God, this is like the coolest. I mean, just to be able to look at this stuff, to be able to provide this, and I've watched it, you know, we're going on 18 years. I've watched 18 years from when we first started it, because even before that, we were making wine in our backyard until we could get the law passed. So we were learning stuff then. And I watched it from then all the way to where it is now. And yeah, I'm super proud of what we've done and how we've treated people, because they love us. Our winemakers love us. It breaks my heart that I even have to charge them. So, you know, I see them more than I see my family. So
understood. Before I let you go, we have about a minute left. What do you see as the future for Vegas Valley Winery? You've got all these classes going on, the wine tasting, everything that goes on there. Do you see something new in the next year or two that you want to add?
You know, if it can just stay, if it can get busier, you know, more people coming in and finding out about us, that's what I would like to see new. If you ever go to our website or follow us on Facebook, we're busy. We have every night we've got something going. I mean, we've got on the April 19th, we've got the Catalina Wine Mixer, which is awesome. It's just a party, and it's a hell of a party. It's a great party. And we do workshops almost every night here, charcuterie, hat making, yoga. Uzi yoga is awesomely fun. meditation, you name it, we do it. And there's just so much going on. This isn't
maybe
just
you don't want more stuff going on if you got all that going on.
Yeah, I can't do any more than this.
Well, that's a great way to leave it. My guest has been Patty Peters. She's co-owner of Vegas Valley Winery. For everything about Vegas Valley Winery, go to VegasValleyWinery.com. And you can follow them on Instagram, Facebook, and X. And Patty, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thank you, Ira. Don't wait so long, Dutt. Come see me next time.
Oh, absolutely. See you next time.
You've been listening to Talk About Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world.